Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, November 7th, 2014, and with me today, I have the man who is always right, at least from his perspective, Brian Chaffin.
No, I'm so not always right. I'm often right.
The man who is often right, at least from his own perspective, Brian Chaffin.
Fair enough. Yes, that is me. Yay, me.
Glad to have you here today, Brian.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And the man that no doubt has opinions that may not at times agree with Brian's, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I have opinions on everything, and I'm so right because I'm so wrong.
And our sponsor today is Smile, so thank you to them. And if you, dear listeners, haven't picked up on it, I'm offering you a little bit of foreshadowing about what is so imminent on today's show.
It's almost like you were goading us.
I have no idea what you mean, Brian. Yeah.
Well, Brian and I have never disagreed before. We never had any bets.
No.
The only times I've seen you two together, wait, have I seen you two together? Huh. There's a possibility you're the same person.
I've seen us together.
Oh, well then, okay then. All right. Anyhow, the first topic that I wanted to dive into, while we were going through just our usual morning discussions today, I got word that Aero, the company that was selling people antenna space, essentially, and then rebroadcasting broadcast television out to them over the internet, they ended up getting sued. They've kind of shut down, but not really. And they just announced that they're laying off a substantial portion of their staff.
Sucks for the people involved, very much so. But to the company, I say good riddance.
Ouch. And why is that, Brian?
That's because they're a bunch of freeloading freeloaders. This company is trying to offer a subscription service for which they're paying no license. It's no different. It's no different than some wrapping a frame around our site and selling advertising on that frame, and then profiting off of our work.
Well, remember Brian the other day when we were talking about Touch ID and how the judge thought that because using fingerprints was legal, it was okay to force you to use your fingerprint as an unlocked device for personal data, is seemingly in contravention of the spirit of the Supreme Court decision about passcodes. And we said, you know, the judge didn't quite understand the technical issues here. I think there's a really fine technical issue here, and it's personal for me because, you know, I'm in Denver, and I don't have line of sight to Lookout Mountain where the HD antennas are. I'm in a topographic depression. If I could, I would run a really big antenna up to the top of my roof, but I still couldn't see the antennas. And I know it's a little bit of a bleed if you don't have line of sight, but still, it's better to have a good view. If somebody came to my door and said, I'll go and put an antenna up on the hill, and I'll bring a wire into your house and connect it to the coax on your TV, will you pay me for that service? And I'd go, oh, yeah, because that's a really long wire, and you'd have to bury it, you know, and do all that stuff and properly, you know, make it safe and everything, and that makes sure kids don't run into it on the hill and stuff like that. And so then I'd have TV, for which the taxpayers have already paid, and the FCC believes that this is the open airways. However, rather than running a long wire into my house, guess what? I already have one. It's called the internet. And so all they're doing is charging me for the antenna and the wire to pick up something that should be free in the first place. Right?
No.
Right?
No, not at all. It'd be one thing if this company was selling you a product that you could use to stream to yourself wherever you are. We have products like that, right? This is something else entirely. This is a company setting up a cable-like service delivered through the internet for which they are paying for the antenna on their end, the quote-unquote antenna on their end, mm-hmm. and they are paying for the warehouse space and the server space and, of course, the staff to run it all. But they're not providing any real infrastructure. Instead, they're simply streaming content to you that they haven't paid a license for. You can't get something for nothing. If everybody
do I have to pay a license?
This.
Well, they're my authorized agent. I don't have to pay a license because the airwaves are free. They're just my authorized agent to set up the hardware for an antenna. They're not really being a rebroadcaster.
All right, so let's take this out to its ultimate conclusion. Everybody in the United States of America does this. Cable companies are out of business, which is fine. I've got no great love for the cable companies. Satellite providers are out of business. And we have this massive revenue stream that pays for all this content you're watching, and it just goes away, and Arrow's making a butt ton of money, but now you have no TV. So what's the point?
Well, Brian, they're not going to put the cable companies out of business because this is only for the free stuff that's broadcast over the airwaves.
No, but it's replacing. It's competing
with. It's not going to put HBO or Showtime or Science Fiction Channel out of business.
It's competing with the cable services. They're offering a very similar
competition. I love competition.
But they're not paying for it. They're not licensing it.
They don't have to because they're picking up something that's free and just simply passing it on to you, which you could have done anyway.
Yeah, that was the argument.
Only you had an antenna in the right place.
That's the argument. No, you. It's not. It's nowhere near as simple as that. They're offering service. They're offering a streaming service. They thought they had a loophole in the law to do this. They thought they had a loophole in the law that allowed them to offer the streaming service without licensing it, without paying for it, and to be able to profit from it.
That would be relicensing the licensing that they already have. They already have a license from the federal government to pick up stuff that's free on the airwaves. If they want to
pass it. But they didn't have a license to stream it to you. That's the thing. And that's why they got in trouble.
They don't need a license because they're not, in my mind, rebroadcasting. They're not holding the content. They're not creating it, modifying it.
But they are rebroadcasting.
All they're doing is picking up. And that, technically, they're not rebroadcasting it. Technically, they're just passing the signal from the air.
Right.
From the electromagnetic waves in the air to the electromagnetic waves in the cable.
Yeah. Come on, man. Do you honestly, in your heart, think that they're not rebroadcasting this content? That is precisely what they're doing. You're wanting to argue about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. You're wanting to argue about what the definition of is. They're rebroadcasting something to you, and they're not paying for that privilege. They're just freeloaders, man.
It's like saying I can't use a telescope because you can look up in the sky and you can see the stars with your naked eye. But if I use a lens, then the light has been transmitted through a lens, and therefore it has been altered, and I should have to pay a license to pick up that radiation.
No, in no way analogous whatsoever.
It's just an alteration of the transmission medium that I already have a right to.
All right, let me take a crack at this because after listening to both of you go head to head, Brian, I'm actually in your camp. So the difference that I see here is. With your initial scenario where someone shows up at your door and says, hey, I'll go put your antenna up on this tower over here and run a wire from that antenna back to your house mm-hmm. versus I will put an antenna in a warehouse, pick up the signal and then send it to you through the internet. The difference is you just have a really long antenna in the first case.
And they're providing the infrastructure to make that happen. They're actually performing a service. Right, they're laying the cable. They're putting the expense up for that cable, and they're charging you for that.
Mm-hmm. And in the second case, they have to put a device in between that captures the signal, turns it into the digital signal that it needs to be to pass through the internet to your computer. And I have a feeling that's the piece right there that turns it into rebroadcast, requiring a license.
John, I hear the spirit with what you're arguing, and of course I nod to your technical acumen, as I always do, because you were one of the smartest people I know. But there is, to me, no difference between them and the frame scenario I said earlier, or from a pirate site, making money by giving people access to pirated software. Not that the TV stuff is being pirated in this case, but it's that same something-for-nothing mentality that does not bear any relationship to reality to me.
Well, you know, if that's the way the government wants to handle it, then they should make it very clear. And in this case, I think they have. So,
and I think they're working to change how the the regulations fit so that companies like Arrow can legitimately, or within the interpretation of the law as it is right now, can do exactly what they are. And that's some of the changes that Chairman Wheeler is proposing for the FCC. So, but if that happens, then it also opens the door so that Apple could strike up deals directly with broadcasters and give us channels on Apple TV.
You know, there's someone else on staff who is very firmly in John's camp, and that's Dave.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that if Dave were here, eventually I would have just had to just cut off the conversation and played the end music, because I wouldn't have been able to stop you guys.
Lay down your sword and walk away. Yeah.
But boy, what an awesome discussion that would have been. Which is not to say this one hasn't been, because I've been loving every minute of this.
Well, it's great that we have these contrasting viewpoints. You know, the listeners can decide for themselves based on all this great conversation.
Sure.
The listener can, in fact, decide that I'm right. Actually, I have no doubt that there are people who disagree with me. I'm definitely taking a very on issues like this, I always trend and err towards the side of principle that a lot of folks don't necessarily agree with.
Well, you know, I want to reaffirm that I'm strongly in favor, as a writer myself, I'm strongly in favor of copyright protections, and I'm not in favor of stealing content either. I just think Ariel was being very clever with the law and doing something helpful for customers who couldn't receive a signal any other way. Because, you know, you live in a big city, you know, you have all these buildings and reflections. It's really hard to get an over-the-air signal in a lot of places. And if the law didn't prevent it, then Aereo should go ahead until the law says they can't.
To me, Aereo's solution, I don't know if it's Aereo or Aero, by the way, but whichever it is, and maybe, of course, the industry wasn't willing to play ball with them, but I never got the impression that they even tried to play ball. It seems to me that if they just paid had a licensing agreement, of course, they would have had to charge more for the service, because, again, you can't get something for nothing.
Right.
If they had licensed the stuff in the first place, it would have been a killer service to offer.
Yeah. You know, I think executives and companies, in my experience, tend to fly off the handle and overestimate the potentials of certain threats.
That's true. And the TV industry in particular is very change resistant. They love the status quo at any given time, and they love the way they currently make money, especially when they're making plenty of money. And TV is making plenty of money right now. So, yeah, it's very possible that no one ever would have played ball with Arrow, even if they tried. I don't know. You just can't get something for nothing.
No, you can't. Hey, I have to jump in because I need to mention our sponsor, which is smilesoftware.com and Text Expander Touch 3. And, yeah, it's a utility that I can't live without. And I know you've heard me say that every day this week, but it's absolutely true. It's a utility that I can't live without. And what it does is it lets me take words and phrases and pretty much anything else that I'm using on a regular basis that I would otherwise be typing, and turn it into a little snippet. So I type a shortcut, like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 characters, and it expands out into many words, many paragraphs, whatever it is that I need it to be. Saves me tons of time, and I love the fact that with iOS 8 we can do the whole thing with having alternate keyboards. So I can use the Text Expander Touch keyboard in all of my apps. So all of the same snippets that I'm using on my Mac, I can use on my iPhone and my iPad, which, by the way, you can synchronize them too, so that you can have all the snippets everywhere. And it's a beautiful and wonderful thing.
It, you know, it occurs to me that people who've used Text Expander get it, and people who have not may not get it. They may not understand the lore here. Can you offer a couple of real-world examples of things that someone might type all the time that they could just, you know, convert into a, you know, two or three or four character call?
Oh, sure. Okay, so on several times a week, I will get emails from PR agencies and other companies that need to have all of my contact information. So I have a short little snippet. It's just TMO add, so TMO ADD. When I type that in, it has all of my contact information. So name, address, phone number, Twitter, Skype, all of this stuff grouped together. And a little of paragraph to go with it, so that I can just type that and then send off. It's like a couple hundred words of content with only six letters. I also use this with my clipboard. So if I have a URL that needs to have a tracking tag attached to it, that tracking tag is something that I've put into Text Expander. So when I type whatever shortcut's appropriate for that tag, it fills in the URL that I have in my clipboard and has all the proper HTML and everything right around it. And so I know every time that I use that, I am properly formatting not only the HTML, but the link, so that I will never have any broken links or problems with that.
So if you work on your computer all the time, there's going to be things that you type frequently. And those are the things that Text Expander can turn into a very short call to simplify your life.
Yes. And it doesn't sound like much, but when you're using it all the time, I should look at some point on my Mac and see how much time it says I'm saving, because it'll tell you. And I bet it's in the hours, multiple hours of typing time that it has saved for me.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyhow, go check out Text Expander Touch 3 for iOS, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. Let the Smile people know that you appreciate them sponsoring the show, because I do, and I know they'd love to hear from you.
And I do too. I couldn't write without it.
There you go. Three ringing endorsements. And so thank you again to Smile for sponsoring the show. And as I look at the time, I realize we're actually out of time. We don't have time for another topic today.
Oops.
Well, so that said, Brian, thank you so much for joining me and expressing your opinion, no holds barred.
Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. And John, thank you for joining in, and I hope you don't feel like you're beat up on too much. And
not at all. I was happy to be right on this side of the issue.
Well, there you go. Everyone's a winner today. Yeah. So thanks to both of you. Thanks to Smile for being our sponsor. And hey, we'll see everyone next week.
Bye-bye.